بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على نبينا محمد المصطفى وعلى آله وأصحابه نجوم الهدى قادر التقى ما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال عهدي الظالمين وسئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هذه الأضاحي يا رسول الله قال سنة أبيكم إبراهيم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq to gather here on this auspicious day of Eid al-Adha to begin our day by performing Salatul Eid and by reading the Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our gathering here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our fast during the month of Dhul Hijjah, the first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, specifically the day of Arafah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all our brothers and sisters who have gone for Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their pilgrimage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their journey. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those of our brothers and sisters who have gone, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them back safe and sound. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those of us who have not completed the obligation of Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the means for us to go and perform that sacred journey. And those of us who have already performed our Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us to those blessed lands over and over again. My dear respected brothers and sisters, when the days of sacrifice neared, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum once asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا هَذِهِ الْأَضَاحِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Messenger of Allah, what is this sacrifice all about? Which we call qurbani or udhiyya. Now we have to understand that this sacrifice or offering the sacrifice of an animal, this came from the time of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. And this was also practiced in the Abrahamic faiths. And this also was a ritual amongst the mushrikeen and the pagans of Makkatul Mukarramah. And it was a common practice amongst the Arabs. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they already knew what sacrifice was and what qurbani was about. So why did they ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this sacrifice? What does it mean? What does it entail to? The reason for this is, my dear respected brothers and sisters, is that Islam is not a religion of custom and village rituals. Just because something came from our forefathers, just because something was passed down generation after generation in our families, does not mean that we need to stick to it or we need to continue with it. And that is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Messenger of Allah, this sacrifice is a custom, is a ritual that has been passed down generation from generation. Why are we continuing to do it? Today, in our society, in our communities, we also practice many baseless customs, and we are only practicing them because why? They have been passed down in our families from generation to generation. For example, at the occasion of marriage, we have this festivity and that festivity and this ritual and that gathering and this food and that food. Whereas the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of marriage is two things. Number one, the ceremony of nikah. And number two, walima, after the consummation of the marriage, which is an invitation from the boy's side to his family, friends and his relatives. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we have added so many customs and so many festivities and rituals in addition to the nikah and in addition to the walima, that because of that, it is actually very difficult for many people to get married. Why? Because they cannot afford to perform all those festivities. And they feel that if they don't perform those festivities or don't have those gatherings, then their honor amongst their family and their honor amongst their relatives will somewhat diminish. And when we make nikah difficult, and when we make marriage difficult, and we make it expensive, then what happens? Zina, adultery and fornication becomes very cheap and becomes very easy. Similarly, when somebody passes away, when somebody dies, we have added many innovations and we have added many customs in addition to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when somebody passes away, Sharia teaches us, number one, that after the kafan and after we shroud the deceased, we participate in the salatul janazah. After the salatul janazah, we participate in the tadfeen, in the burial of our deceased brother or sister. And after the funeral, after the burial of the deceased, what do? We do ta'ziyah. And we console the family of the deceased, the bereaved, up to 3 days. Now, in addition, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, in addition to this, we have added this custom that we have to get together on this day or on that day. And when everybody gets together, we have to make food for everybody. And if somebody doesn't attend, then they are looked down upon. They are under pressure to attend. So now what happens? That somebody dying has become a burden on the people who are alive. People are not coming to these gatherings out of their own will. What is the purpose of these gatherings? To send reward to the deceased person, to read some Qur'an, and to make some dua for the deceased person. But this is not found in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that people gather to recite Qur'an for the deceased person. People can send isal thawab, people can send reward individually on their own accord. If they want to come to the house and while they are there for ta'ziyah, and they read some Qur'an and send that reward to the deceased, that's fine. But to make all these restrictions, what happens? It makes a person's passing away a burden upon those who are alive. Now why do we do these things for? Why do we continue with these things for? Why? Because it was the way of our forefathers, that's what my father was doing, and that's what his father did, and that's what his grandfather did, and that's what his grandfather did. And that's, if I don't do it, my honor will diminish within my family. The Deen of Islam came to put an end to these customs and these baseless rituals. Now I'm not here to say what is halal and what is haram and what is permissible and what is impermissible. Not every custom is impermissible either. We should speak to the ulama, we should ask them, we should take advice from them, we should consult them on these occasions, and we should learn from them what falls under the banner of permissibility and what falls under the banner of impermissibility, and we should act accordingly. So similarly, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they asked this question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because Islam put an end to many customs that were prevalent amongst the Arabs. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, prior to Islam, they practiced many things. But after the advent of Islam, Islam put an end to those things and they gave up those things. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا هَذِهِ الْأَضَاحِي. What is this sacrifice all about? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He said, Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. This was the sunnah and this is the practice of your forefather, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Now, why did Islam choose to continue this ritual, or why did Islam choose to continue this custom for? Because this custom is not like any other custom. This custom has a lesson for us inside it. This custom was a replica of something very, very great. This custom was a replica of Sayyiduna Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam's sacrifice of his beloved son out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this world, when somebody does something great, somebody invents something that nobody invented before, somebody discovered something that nobody discovered before. So to honor that person, what do? We create a statue. Right? We create a statue in honor of that person and we put it in a public place so that when people pass by, they can look at that statue and they can remember that person. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wanted us to remember Sayyiduna Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam as a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have commanded the people to create a statue of Sayyiduna Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam with a knife in his hand, showing his sacrifice towards his son. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't want us just to remember Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to remember the love that Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had such a level of love that he was willing to give up his own son. The son, that child, which is the most dear thing, the most precious thing to a parent. And Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, when did he have Sayyiduna Ismail? At the age of 90. But out of his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he even was ready to sacrifice his own son. This is what qurbani is about. This is what this sacrifice is about. And in this sacrifice, there is a lesson for me and you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants to revive this lesson every single year again and again and again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam through many tests. Allah Azza wa Jal, He tells us in the Holy Quran, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. And remember when your Lord tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, not once, بِكَلِمَاتٍ, over and over and over again. Difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. Trial after trial after trial. He has to give up his own family. The place, the household where he was born was a house where idols were worshipped and idols were created. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him towards tawheed and he began his call towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards tawheed, his father or his uncle is the first one to rebuke him and to kick him out of his house. The society he lived in was the first to put pressure on him to give up what he was calling for and giving up what he was standing for. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he stood firm upon what he thought was the haqq, what he thought was the truth. He didn't back down from his truth. And if that meant that he had to migrate from his homeland, then he was willing to migrate his homeland, and he migrated with his family, with his wife, Sayyiduna Sara ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, and his nephew Sayyiduna Lut alayhi salatu wa salam. He gave up. He gave up his people. He left his father, he left his uncle, according to one narration. After he travels from Iraq towards the land of Makkatul Mukarrama, what is he told? He is told to leave his family as well, without any food, without any drink, just a couple of dates. Difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. And we know the story continues. Eventually, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child. He's granted Sayyiduna Ismail ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam after 90 years. And then he is told to sacrifice his child. Difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. Today, me and you, maybe one difficulty we go through, we exercise patience. The second difficulty comes, the third difficulty comes. What happens? We start complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, couldn't you find somebody else? Why are you putting me through these difficulties for? Am I the only one you could find? No, my dear respected brothers and sisters, when we go through difficulties, we should remind ourselves, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam went through those same difficulties. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went through those same difficulties. When Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's beloved son, Ibrahim radiallahu anhu, he passes away. One of the children of the household, Usama bin Zayd, he starts crying very, very loudly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stops him and says, no, that is not our way. القلب تحزن والعينان تدمعان ولا نقول إلا ما يرضي ربنا. That the heart will burn with huzn and will burn with sorrow, and eyes will also tear, but we will not allow any word to come out of our mouth which will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will only say from our mouth that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, difficulties will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dunya, this world is darul imtihan. This is darul ibtila. This is darul bala. We will go through difficulties. But those difficulties are not to put us down. Those difficulties are to raise us. Those difficulties are to elevate us. Those difficulties are to purify us, to remove us from the ill doings that we do, from the evil that we do. Those difficulties are to raise our status. The same way in this world, when we go through imtihan, when we go through examinations in school, in high school, in college, in university, when we pass those examinations, we stay awake at night, we go through that difficulty of studying, we sacrifice our desires and going out, and then we pass with good numbers. What happens? We get a certificate, we get a good job, we get a pay raise, we get a higher status in the company that we are working for. Similarly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes us go through difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants to raise us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants to elevate us. So we don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for trials. Salullah al-afiyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for comfort. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through a difficulty, whether it's from a financial perspective, whether it's family issues, whatever issue it may be, we exercise patience. Like Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he exercised patience. We do not allow those words to come onto our tongue which displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, we increase our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make ruju ila Allah, we return to Allah, we repent from our sins, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make things easy for us. These are the lessons that we can learn from the life of Sayyiduna Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. Number one, sacrificing our desires, because our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than our love for our desires. And number two, when we go through calamities and we go through difficulties, then we exercise patience like Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam exercise patience. When we exercise patience, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will elevate our status. Like He made Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama. We are going to make you a leader for the people. The same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will make us leaders for the future generations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our gathering here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our qurbani, our sacrifice, our udhiyah on this special day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to endure difficulties the way our forefathers, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, went through those difficulties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our brothers and sisters who have passed away. May Allah ta'ala grant them Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa and cure to all our brothers and sisters who are sick, who are ill. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the difficulties of those of our brothers and sisters who are going through difficulties. Jazakumullahu khairan ahsan al jaza. If I can get everyone inshallah to stand up once again and make a rose inshallah. There are many brothers in the back, it's still raining outside. Brothers inshallah can make their rose, fill up the empty gaps, stand shoulder to shoulder inshallah.